I don't know, though. I don't know about you guys, but I'm enjoying this cooler weather.
Amen.
This morning, I don't really have a sermon that I have. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to show a little bit. Yesterday, me and Brother Steve went to this thing out in Higginsville, Missouri. And it's where a group of guys gather together. They do it once every month. And this guy started this about 3 years ago with like 12 guys around his pool. And yesterday, there was around 100 guys from all different over, you know. There were some pastors there, but they come from Blue Springs, Lee Summit. There was a guy that came all the way from Illinois, but they're just from all over. And it was just a really encouragement to me and Brother Steve. And it was pretty cool because this guy that started it, his name's Scott, well, it's him and like a guy named Joe, but he's noticed over this period that there'll be guys that will come and they'll get guys to come that, you know, aren't part of a church or anything like that. But then after so many months, he sees them falling away. So he was emphasizing to his guys that, you know, if you've been coming here for a while and you haven't gone into a church or even just a small group, you need to do that. Because, you know, that way touched me because it's like, you know, here at a church, you know, did you know there's protection here? When you come and you're part of an assembly, you know, a church, it doesn't have to be this church, but in any church or even just a small group, when you're coming together, there's strength there, there's encouragement, there's like a spiritual protection. You know, he was talking about like, you know, we were all sitting around this big garage that he had, and it's like right there with all the guys, all these Christians, you could feel the presence of God there. And he's like, the devil, he can't get in here, you know. He could have tried to attack, but he ain't going to do anything. But if there's a guy that's like out there on the outskirts by himself, that's who the devil's going to attack. And so he's emphasizing that, you know, it's so important that you got to be together and you got to be in a body. You know, you need each other. You need encouragement, but then you're also there to encourage other people. And so that I don't have much here, but then let's see. Yeah, so that was about it. I mean, and then what he does is he has like different guys every Saturday, or every time they do it every month, give a testimony kind of, or do a little sermon, and that, you know, they have breakfast and stuff. And so it's just, what's cool about it is it's not a church service, you know, it's not like a formal thing. It's just guys that come together from all different denominations, you know, or non-denominational, you know. So to me, it was like a true representation of the body of Christ, where you just got guys that come together that love Jesus and they're there to encourage each other. And I just think that's really cool, because have you ever been just out and about, you know, and you come across another Christian and it's like an encouragement, like, hey, you know, I mean, we know each other here, but it's like when somebody else you come across that's a Christian, it's like there's an immediate strengthening, you know, maybe you're there to encourage them, maybe they're there to encourage you. So I just thought that was really neat. And I just thought that was awesome that, you know, that's why it's so important. You know, sometimes people are like, well, I can just, you know, I can go do what I want to do. You know, I can have church at home or whatever and be by myself. And it's like, that ain't going to last. You know, the devil's going to attack you and attack you and attack you. Before you know it, you are going to fall away. So anyways, that was all that I have. So.
Amen. So I want to share my side of that story. Very short thing. So when Michael came home, he had to leave at like 5 in the morning on Saturday, so I was obviously asleep. So he came back, it was like, I think, 8:30 or 9, might have been after 9. And I'm in the house getting ready to go over to the church, and he comes in the door. And immediately, it was like the presence of the Lord just rushed into our house. It was like, I was like completely overwhelmed. And was like trying hard not to just burst out in tears as he's starting to tell me how it went and everything. And it was like, I was like, whoa, you know, like wherever you have been has been something really strong. So that was just a blessing on my part to know that, you know, him and Brother C took the time to get up and pursue God that early in the morning. And with all these other guys, it was just really just blessed me. As his wife, it blessed me, you know. All right, so today I'm going to talk about healing emotional pain from hurts. So this is obviously part of the hardship series, and You know, when you read Job, there is so much emotional pain in every single verse that Job, and every word that he says, you can feel his pain. You know that he is going through the hardest thing that he's ever gone through. And it's amazing to me that after losing everything, you don't really hear him complaining much until his body, until it starts affecting his body. And then it's like, well, what else can possibly happen? And so it's like, you know, sometimes you're strong enough to go through certain things, but then you get hit with one other thing and it's like, okay, I can't take anymore. I've gone through this and this is just too much. And a lot of times our hardships, you know, some people struggle with some things and they get through it quickly and easily. And you think, how do they possibly get through that? And then they get this one little thing and it's like, oh my gosh, then they're completely overwhelmed. We all go through different circumstances, different trials and hardships differently. We all face them differently. It hurts us differently. It affects our emotions differently. You know, especially men and women are different from each other. You know, sometimes, you know, like women who have had babies, a man, I'm telling you, you just cannot go through that. And just to go through that, like I remember Michael, he had a kidney stone. Before I had Mandy, he had a kidney stone. And he was in the most awful pain in his entire life. And I remember I ran him to the emergency room and I just felt like, I felt so helpless. Like, I have no idea what you're going through, but I'm just going to pray for you because I love you. So I'm just, you know, he finally passed the kidney stone. And then later on, I got pregnant, had Mandy, and I'm going through intense pain. And he was telling me, I kind of know what you're feeling like. And I'm like, I'm going to kill you. But I was like, but at the same time, I was like, don't you dare leave me. You know, I was like, I remember he had been holding my hand for hours. And finally, he was like, can I go to the bathroom? And the midwife was like, I'll take her hand. You go to the bathroom. But it was like, you know, that pain, it is awful. But as soon as Mandy was born, the joy of her coming into my arms was indescribable. It's something that I didn't care about anything else. I didn't care about all that pain. Just like it says in the Bible, instantly all you think about is this beautiful baby that's in your arms. It's just incredible. God's blessing in adversity, you know? And so anyway, so we're going to talk about the emotional pain that you go through and how to, you know, a lot of times we think that we have to deal with this ourselves, but we really don't have to. Did anybody go through Keys to Freedom? I know a lot of us did as a church together. Chapter 4, I believe, talks about healing life's hurts. And a lot of times we go through these studies, you know, and it's like, okay, I've done that. I can set it aside. But this is one of those that you really need to go back and remember and do it again. Because what it does is it gets you in the habit of how to deal with things that hurt you physically, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually when you're offended at different things in the spirit realm. You can have, you know, sometimes you can go to church and be offended by something and it affects your spirit. So, you know, there's different things that each one of us has to go through in our lives, but we have to know how to handle those situations. Amen. So at the beginning of this section, there's a testimony of this guy, and his name is Jason. And he talks about how he had a learning disability. And you know, learning disabilities, they can be like ADHD or ADD or something along those lines. Maybe it was dyslexia, where you can't read things properly, you know. So sometimes when someone has a learning disability, they just let that define them for the rest of their lives. And he said it was really hard for him because he had 5 brothers and sisters and they were geniuses. And if you've ever had family and it's like, you know, like I felt like that when I was in school, like I was younger than all my older siblings and they're all smart, genius, and I'm like struggling with algebra. And then finally God helped me with that. But it was like, you know, sometimes you're going through those things and you feel like, man, there's just nothing you can do about it. Like you're the only one in this situation. And to make things worse, not only is he going through that and faced with all his adversity, he has a father who never is really a father to him. All he does is ridicule him his whole life. Like, you're not good enough. You're not like your brothers and sisters. You'll never amount to anything, you know? And so at one time he's in his life, he's going to go to college and he tells his dad he's going to major in English and minor in writing. And his dad's like, psh, like, you're ever going to do that? And it was like, and he said he sat there on his bed and his dad told him that. And it just hit him so hard that even though he went to college and even though he was going after that, he kept hearing his dad's negative voice telling him that he was never going to amount to anything. And it just kept coming back. And so as he got older, he got saved he was saved, but he really got on fire for God. So he really started digging into the word and spending time with God. And he went to a retreat one time and he felt like all of this stuff that he was going through, that God was working on him, that he wanted to heal him. And so he said, I was just sitting there and God showed me that even though I was in that bedroom, that Jesus was right there with me. And he said, so when I saw my dad standing there telling me how worthless I was, he said, I saw Jesus sitting right here beside me. And he gave me a book and a pen and he said, start writing. Oh, I just love that. Because it's like, you know, we can think, people can speak things into our lives and it can damage and it can hurt and it can feel like, man, I'll never get over that. It'll never change. I will be that way. But that's not the truth. The truth is what Jesus speaks into your life. When you don't have, you know, like we talked about the orphan spirit a while back, when you feel like you don't have someone who loves you and who is a father to you, even if you have an earthly father, you have your heavenly father. Even if you don't have a mother, you have you have a heavenly father who is a father and a mother to you. You know, you have the Holy Spirit. When you feel discouraged, he's right there for you. Amen. Okay, so I just want to encourage you in that today, and we're going to read some scripture. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to start at verse 18, Luke 4:18. Thank you, Lord. This is Jesus declaring who he is, right at the beginning, declares who he is to his people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So this is who Jesus is to you. Now you can see Jesus, you know, he is everything that we need, but you need to see him for who he is to you. Maybe you do need a broken heart that needs to be healed. Maybe you feel like you're in chains and you need to get out of those chains. Whatever it is, Jesus is that person for you. Maybe you need that freedom from whatever you've been locked in your whole lives. Whatever's held you captive, whatever thoughts, whatever evil words have been spoken over you, whatever bad relationships that you've been through that keep coming up and coming up, those relationships, Jesus can heal that. Jesus can take all of that pain, but you have to make a choice that you want to give it to him. Amen. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 28. So these are all, I'm going to read a lot of familiar scriptures because I believe that sometimes we look at the familiar and we take it for granted. But these are things that we need to hold on to. These are the scriptures that when you are struggling and it's almost like you have a hard time thinking, sometimes those scriptures that you've memorized your whole life will come back to you in a moment. Amen. So Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 28. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Can anyone in this room think of burdens in their lives that they just don't want anymore? Oh, yeah. Think of those times in your life that you have felt like it's just, you know, like when I came in this morning, and even since I got up this morning, I just felt like there is just either something is going on or there is a person that is struggling. And it just feels really heavy. And so after I'm done ministering, I'm just going to pray. And then whoever it is or whatever is going on, we're just going to trust Jesus that he is going to take care of it. Because these things that are heavy laden doesn't mean that it's easy. So whatever you're going through, Jesus is going to take it. Amen. I believe it sincerely that he wants to help us. He wants to take those burdens from us. Amen. Okay, so Proverbs 18:10, you could just write this down, and then we're going to go to Psalm 23. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe, and set on high far above evil." Amen. And then let's turn to Psalm 23. This is the very first chapter I memorized, and it just always has been a comfort to me my whole entire life. I pretty much think about it daily. Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." And what that means is he makes your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. It's every part of you. When you're going through an emotional battle, when you're struggling and you just feel like there's nothing you can do, turn to Jesus because he physically restores your emotions. He restores that. Amen. Verse 3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And right here, that means everything that you go through, God will provide whatever you need, even in your deepest struggles. When Satan is coming after you and he is trying to destroy your life, God says, "No, you're right here with me. I prepared this table. I've already taken care of things. Don't worry about it. Just trust me." And it can feel like, well, I'm right here in the presence of my enemies. You can literally feel darkness invading your life. But God is right there with you. Amen. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. And then let's go to Psalm 91. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I want to pause right there for a second. That secret place is inside of you. When you receive Jesus, you become a new creature. Your spirit is made new. And then Jesus comes inside of you. And it's so awesome to think about, you can go anywhere in the entire world and Jesus is right there with you. His presence is in you. His word is in you. His Holy Spirit speaks to you. I mean, it's incredible. When you're struggling and you feel like, man, I feel like everything's against me, like it's never going to change, and who do I go to? You go right here. Jesus is right here. Amen. It goes on to say, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And see, these are things that you have to do. You have to say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. You have to do that. You have to say, God, I trust You. I turn to You. I go into Your fortress. You are here for me. You have to say that. You have to speak it, but you have to believe it in your heart. Amen. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And it's just amazing. All of these things are horrible things to go through, and yet God covers everything. Whatever you are going through, He'll be there for you. Amen. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And that means you are living in His presence. Habitation means you're continually there. It doesn't mean you just visit. It means you inhabit the presence of the Lord. And it says in God's word that He inhabits the praises of His people. You need to be praising Him. Amen. And then it goes on to say, verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And I love this section because it's God telling us, we shall tread the lion and the adder. That means we have the authority over all of the darkness in the name of Jesus. This is what God does for us. We are the ones who will tread the lion and the adder. Amen. Because He, and this is where God is talking to us, so this is, take this to heart. Because He hath set His love upon me. God is talking about you. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Do you know who to call when you're in trouble? Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And so what I'm doing is I'm reading to you promises. Promises that when you struggle, Jesus is there for you. Promises that when things come against you and you feel like you're completely overwhelmed, or maybe things have come against you your whole life and you don't know how to deal with those. Just the thought of them is overwhelming. You've been struggling with these things your whole life and you just feel like it's easier to just bury them. You know, a lot of times when we're going through hurts, it's like our automatic safety net. And so we do our best to just push them aside and not think about them. You know, it's just like our natural human tendency. You know, if I don't think about it, then I don't have to remember how it hurt and I don't have to remember the pain. So I'd rather just not think about it. You know, we do that just automatically. But God doesn't want us to do that forever. He understands how we feel. And we can go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 4, I believe. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Nope, I'm going to get there. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what this is Jesus literally was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. So he doesn't take it. It's not like he just tells you, okay, I'm here for you. Now just get over it. No, he walks with us through these trials and through these tribulations. You know, it's kind of like a lifeguard. You know, a lifeguard doesn't just throw a person in a water and tell them, okay, you need to learn how to swim right now. Parents do that. Lifeguards don't do that. Like, okay, you need to learn how to swim. Just get out there. But a lifeguard will walk you into the water. A lifeguard will help you get comfortable being in the water. Slowly. So it's like God isn't like, okay, you need to deal with this situation right now. No, God isn't like that. He slowly works on your heart. And he brings you to the place where he knows, okay, you're ready to deal with this. All right, we'll start here. And the thing about God is he doesn't just shove you into it all at once. He does a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there. And the next thing you know, you're completely healed. It is just an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit does. Just like a lifeguard, they take you into the water slowly. They teach you a little bit about swimming, and then you go back for another lesson and another lesson. And then even after you've learned how to swim, that lifeguard is still there watching over you, just like Jesus. Even after you've learned, or you think you've learned, how to deal with something, and then something else comes up and you feel like you're drowning again, boom, Jesus is right there. It's like, okay, let's start again. It's okay. And, you know, hurts. I was thinking about how we bury our hurts. And it's almost like, you know, how worms are in the ground. And when it rains, they come up. Or when the ground is shaking, they come up. And that's kind of like hurts are like worms. You know, you think, oh, I can just bury these things and they're just going to stay under the ground. But then when that storm comes or when that quaking comes, man, they're right up there again. And you're like, oh, I don't want to look at those. Let's bury them again. And so we go through our life just trying to just ignore that pain. And God is like, no, you don't have to ignore it. I want to heal you of it. I want to heal your broken hearts. I want to heal that pain. And you know, a lot of times when we're going through emotional pain, it brings out emotions that we don't like. And that's why a lot of times we don't want to confront things, because we don't like those emotions that we're going through. You know, it can be anger. It can be fear. It can be tears. You know, a lot of times when I'm going through something, I just weep, and that's all I can do. But sometimes I get so angry, I don't want to talk to anybody. And I just bury it, and I don't talk about it, because I'm not ready to talk about it. But as the Holy Spirit works on my heart, then it's like, okay, I can open up now. And that's what he does for us. The only way that you can get to that point is if you get to know the Holy Spirit, if you get to know our Father God. You know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you have to take time to get to know them, right? Like, you don't just, have you guys ever heard of that show, 90 Day Fiancé? It was this clip that was a while back. It was just, to me, it was just so dumb. You get married and you're immediately married to this person. You get 90 days to decide if you want to live with them for the rest of your life. So it's like, you don't know this person and suddenly you're married. And it got me to thinking, you know, sometimes people, they receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but then they don't take the time to really get to know him. They don't realize how much and how great he is, how much he can do for you, how much he actually loves you and cares about you. So they just say, yes, Jesus, but then they don't make any other commitment to him. And so what we have to do is we actually have to take time in our lives every day, just like we're learning how to swim with a lifeguard. We have to take time to go out into that water. Okay, Lord, what do I need to hear from you today? What are you speaking to me? And then you need to tell him what's on your heart. You know, God knows. He knows what's on your heart. He knows everything. But he wants you to tell him. He wants you to share your heart with him. Even if that means you are yelling at God. Even if that means you are crying and full of all of these hard emotions that you're going through. Even if it means that you have to lay all that out before the Lord. That's okay, because God can handle it. He doesn't just take things lightly. He actually cares about your problems. He actually cares. You know, things that, you know, sometimes we as humans, we view each other's issues and problems and we think, well, that's not that bad. You can get over it. But it's bad to you. You know what I mean? Like, don't tell me that. I was actually struggling, you know? And so we do that to each other, but God's like, you know, that little issue, that's a big issue to me because it's a big issue to you. If you're struggling with it and you're going through it, that affects me too. And you have to think about the reason why it affects him so much is because he loves you so much. Just like when our children are struggling, man, it affects us because they're our children. It may, you know, it may not even seem like it's very serious to anyone else, but because they're our children, you know, we see their struggles and it affects us. Well, you have to know that whatever you're going through, it affects God. He is going through it with you. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmity. That means that he cares and he knows what you're going through because he's been there. He knows the struggle is real. It's not something that you're just making up or you just want attention for. That struggle is real and he wants to help you through it. Amen? All right, so I want to close with Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to read about the church at Ephesus. Thank you, Father. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. So these Ephesians are patient. They are faithful to the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And in another translation it says, you have left the love that you have had at first. You had that love for me at first, and now it's kind of faded away. And this is where, you know, when we're struggling and we're going through emotional pain, sometimes we look at the works that we do as Christians and we're like, okay, I'm good at the works. I can do all that, but I don't really want God to deal with this emotional pain that's from these hurts. I don't even want to deal with it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm okay with coming to church. I'm okay with serving the Lord. I can do all this part, but I don't want him to deal with the very, very deep recesses of my heart. I don't want him to go there, you know, and we just put that wall up. Like last week, Michael was talking about the walls of Jericho. You know, we ourselves put those walls up sometimes because we just don't want to go there, and we don't want anyone else to go there either. You know, we make these closets and these hidden rooms in our hearts where we lock away the hurt and the pain, and we don't want to remember it because we feel like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about that, because if I think about that, it hurts. And it just keeps hurting. And every time I open that door, it comes up again. And so you just feel like, why? Why do people tell me to go there? Why does the Holy Spirit keep bringing this up to me? It's because he truly wants you to be healed. He doesn't want you. And you can think, well, if I lock it away, it won't affect my life. But let me tell you, those hurts are going to affect you for the rest of your life. You can think you're locking them away, and you can think that they're not going to affect you anymore, but they will, and they are. Even the decisions that you're making for your own family, if you aren't healed from hurts in your past, they're going to affect everyone else around you. Amen? And God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you to come to him and just receive blessings of finances and blessings of prosperity and hey, you're sick and you're healed. He doesn't want you to just get those things. He wants your soul to be healed. He cares about every single part of you, and he wants you to come to him. And it takes a process. You know, in the Keys to Freedom series, it's really important. You can do this alone, but it's really important if you do it with somebody who has a heart for you, somebody who will listen to you, someone who will tell you, not just try to preach at you or not just try to just over-talk you, but somebody who will actually sit there and listen and know what you're going through. And even if you say the wrong thing, they won't just say, oh, well, that's not how it is. No, you shouldn't say that. You should say this. When you're sharing your heart, the most important thing is that someone listens to you, because that's how God is. God listens to you even if you say the wrong thing. Even if you just say the wrong thing, you know, people have the sinner's prayer, and it's like, you know, some have it this way and some have it another way. But Paul in the Bible, all he said was help. And God was there. So don't worry about that. But do find someone in your life that you can talk to who truly loves the Lord, because you need that to grow. You need that person in your life that you can be accountable to, that you can say, okay, I'm struggling with this and I don't know how to get over it. And they can say, okay, well, I will pray for you. And this is what the word says, but God is the one who can change you. It's not people who changes you. Just because you talk to that person, you can't expect for that person, even though you're sharing your heart with them, to change you, because they're not going to. They don't have the strength to change you, but God can, because God changes you from the inside out. Amen. And then another thing is, I just want to encourage you to take the time away from everything to spend time with the Lord. Have you ever been going through your day and you suddenly feel like really irritated, and you feel like you're just snipping at everybody, and it's like you don't want to talk to anybody, and you're just irritated. Everybody had those days. Whenever that kind of thing is happening, that there is something going on in the spiritual realm and it is affecting you, and you may not understand what's going on. Those are moments when you need to set aside, okay, I'm going right now, whether it's a minute or 5 minutes, I'm going to talk to the Lord. and I'm going to find out, God, what is going on? What do I need to do? And he may tell you right away, or he may just tell you just to be patient. Whatever it is, you can take that irritation or whatever it is and give it to the Lord. Because what happens is we are a spiritual people, and things in the spiritual realm, they affect us. And so things in someone else's life may be affecting you, and you may not even realize it. You may be, your child may be in trouble somewhere, and suddenly you feel like there's something wrong. And that's God laying it upon your heart to pray for them. And so it's up to us if we will listen to the Holy Spirit, if we'll listen to him tell us, hey, there's something going on, you need to pray. Hey, there's something in your heart that's going on. Can you just take some time and let it out? You know, let's just talk about it. Because you need that relationship with the Lord. You know, like I have Michael, and when I'm struggling with something, he's my person that I talk to. You know, I'm able to share my heart with him, and he's able to share my heart with me, but not in a way that's like he can figure out my problems or I can figure out his problems. It's not like that. It's that we let the Holy Spirit share through each of us. You know, he may say something that's real, you know, it's just simple and basic. Like he may just say, just trust God. But in my heart, I'm hearing something from the Holy Spirit as well. And it's exactly what I need to hear. Well, that's what happens when we're talking to each other. When we're all struggling, you know, it's important that we have each other, because we're going to go through emotional pain. You know, we're going to get angry. We're going to have fearful moments. We're going to be scared. We're going to say the wrong thing sometimes. We're going to offend each other sometimes. Well, instead of looking at all of those side effects, let's look at the person and love the person. Let's love each other. Amen. We need that for each other, because sometimes we forget that we're human beings. You know, we forget that we're all similar. We all go through a lot of similar things, and we need each other. Amen. Just like I love how Michael went to that thing yesterday, and it was like that guy was encouraging the men to find a church, to find a group, because you need brothers and sisters in the Lord. You need them to speak into your life. You need them to encourage you. You know, who when you're kids, who did not like having a best friend? Nobody. All kids wanted to have a best friend or friends in their lives. Well, when you get older, you still want that companionship. You still want people in your life. You still want them to talk to you, and you want people that you can talk to. You want that. That is something that every person desires in their heart, because they know, because God puts that in them, that we are a family. You know, God doesn't just put us around each other and make us feel like, well, you know, this is all about me. No. He wants us to be in a family. He wants us to love each other. Amen. All right. You can go ahead and stand, and we will pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, you know, when God works in your life, it is life-changing. When you are in his presence, it is so awesome. Man, it is just like, until you've experienced the presence of the Lord, it's like you've never really experienced anything. Honestly, there is nothing as exhilarating and as awesome as the presence of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father. So, Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Lord. Whatever heavy burdens, whatever person is here that is heavy laden, God, right now, we just choose to cast all of our cares upon you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to walk through this journey, to take time every single day. Holy Spirit, show us what is it, what hurt that we need to face, that we can finally get healed. What pain are we going through that we can face, God, that you are our healer. Help us, God. We know, Lord, that we don't need to do this alone. We know that you're with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that we are not overwhelmed. God, that you take us in at just the right pace, that we run this race in faith, God. We come before you, Lord, in faith as though sin doesn't even exist. In Jesus' name. And God, we just thank you, Lord, whatever is going on in this nation or around the world, we thank you, God, that you are having your way. In Jesus' name, in our families, in our lives. God, we thank you for this week as we all go back to work. In Jesus' name, lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And God, I just thank you for every person here, that they are blessed in the basket and blessed in the field, that every person in this place is healed by Jesus' stripes from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. And everything in their lives that has been hurting them emotionally, I speak and loose the anointing that breaks the yoke. I loose the healing power of Jesus Christ to flow into their bodies, their minds, their spirits. In Jesus' name, completely changing them from the inside out. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are here for us. We trust in you. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.